Welcome to High Tea with Grace, where we spill the tea on HIT. Today, I'm at the Vibe Conference in sunny Los Angeles, and I'm honored to welcome to the pod Sandra Johnson, SVP of Client Services at Clinicomp. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So how has your Vibe been?
It has been very eventful. The days are long, but filled with lots of meaningful discussion.
I'd love to talk with you a little bit today about clinical decision support. AI is getting a lot of attention, but where are you seeing clinical decision support tools improving real-time decision-making at the point of care?
Yeah, I think, well, AI has helped accelerate that. I think where we're seeing that practically adopted is around ambient listening and revenue cycle automation, but most importantly, clinical decision support enhancements. So when we're able to bring information or recommendations into the existing workflows, so that can serve up meaningful information to accelerate how the clinicians are making their decisions and really able to deliver care faster, that's where it's really making an impact.
So interesting. I've been hearing a little bit about alert fatigue, how it's been kind of a long-standing challenge in CDS. How are organizations redesigning clinical decision support to be more context-aware and prioritized and clinically relevant?
I think it's really important to have an architecture behind the system that supports the logic. So learning clinicians' behaviors, their preferences, being able to fine-tune the alert process, really responding to how that clinician engages, because everyone has a different perspective and desire for the volume of alerts that they receive and what's really meaningful and helpful in the role that they play in delivering care.
A lot of conversations here this week have been about reducing documentation burden in somewhat form or fashion and how critical it is to clinician well-being. How can CDS be embedded into documentation workflows to support some of that clinical reasoning and compliance without adding cognitive load?
Yeah, what I think is really exciting in that aspect is that there's been a shift of measuring technology based on time return to clinicians. And so the questions we're hearing is less about what the system does and how does it reduce the cognitive load. So I think just looking at from that perspective, how is clinical decision support being automated to help in that aspect?
Absolutely. And do you see that clinical decision support is able to be even more tailored to patient risk profiles and things like that? Are we not quite there yet? How much is like social determinants of health and longitudinal data really used in a meaningful way in terms of precision medicine and other things?
I think what's limiting probably the full capability there is a little bit interoperability. So until we have more than just data exchange and have usable data that's integrated to the workflows to see the more holistic picture of the patient, that's kind of holding us back. But we're definitely making progress on that front, but I think there's a lot more that we have to do.
What do you think is the challenge there with interoperability? Is it cultural? Like, is it like a technical? Is it what needs to happen to get to that next level of interoperability to be able to do even more of those precision medicine type of things?
I think it's architecture and alignment. So a lot of the roadblocks are making sure that as an industry, we're aligned and trying to solve the problem to achieve the same objectives, but having architecture and alignment that can support and accelerate the path to that.
At Vibe here, what trends are you hearing about? We talked a little bit about clinical decision support just because I was very interested in hearing about that from you. But what other trends are you hearing about in the hallways here that are really making you think or excited about the future of health?
I think there's this excitement to change from experimentation to execution. So AI has been the buzzword for several years now, and it's no longer just a concept, but we're trying to figure out how to operationalize it. And so there's a lot of focus around that, but there's also a new urgency around infrastructure resilience and governance and even cost predictability. So it seems like there's a little bit of a shift looking at a more disciplined approach to try to shift from all the ideas to actually how can we execute.
What technologies are really exciting you?
I mean, honestly, it's overwhelming that it's wonderful. Vibe brings together so many vendors, so you can see all of the technology that's available and how you can utilize that within your organization. There's a lot that you have to measure and be able to differentiate and see what's really going to make an impact. So I think there's so much opportunity with AI, but I think the real value is when you can embed it at the workflow, as you were saying, that makes the true difference. So I think the less we can layer on tools and focus on embedding within the platform is important.
Another trend that I hear just in the hallways here is trust and how essential it is to the future of healthcare innovation, adoption, implementation, policy, and more. So where are you seeing trust in the work that you're doing play the biggest role, and what do you think needs to happen?
I heard a lot of the speakers on stage talk about true partnership, and it's more than just implementing a solution, but as challenges or evolution comes along, how are you there to step up and show up when there are challenging situations? And so we have to partner with each other to make sure that we understand the ecosystem, what the challenges and pain points are, what we're really trying to solve. Are we accomplishing that? When things go wrong, how do we respond? This is an evolving landscape, and we just really have to work closely together because we have shared objectives, and anyone's success is dependent on each other.
Yeah. And from another kind of angle of trust too, what governance or transparency validation practices do you think are really necessary to make sure that clinicians can trust and these technologies and act on even clinical decision support that they get? What needs to be added into the industry to make sure we can even improve that level of trust too?
Governance is a big focal point, especially as we're implementing AI into technology, really making sure we understand its accuracy and validity and that it's learning, adapting, and evolving over time. And so really putting in the proper guardrails, setting up infrastructure governance models, and really ensuring that there's a robust plan that you guys can execute against.
If you had a crystal ball, what would you hope to have happen in the next 3 to 5 years when it comes to innovation in the work that you're doing and things that can really help like the industry move forward?
Solving and tackling the interoperability challenge is most important, but really having clinical intelligence that is in a stable architecture is very important. So historically, we've been really focused on features and new bells and whistles, but we really have to shift to adding clinical intelligence at the point of care. And I think systems that can provide that, where they can continue to learn, adapt, and scale, will be the way forward.
I love it. I love it. I'd love to hear a little bit about the career path that brought you to your role at Clinicom.
Yeah, I've been in this industry for over 20 years. So I actually started on the consulting side and was focused on large scale implementations. And now I'm focused more on enterprise modernization. So I work with healthcare systems to align their clinical, operational, and technology strategy so that the EHR can actually be an enabler for performance. And I think what's been exciting about my career is that I've been able to sit between both executive strategy and frontline delivery. And I've noticed over those years that what really leads to the best technology decisions starts with something as simple as just listening.
In your career as a busy and successful woman, I think a lot of us are wondering, like, how do you do it, right? And so are there any tips and tricks for how you just work your best and make a difference just on a personal level? What are things that you do to keep yourself going? And it's not easy. We know it's not easy. Yes. So tell us your secrets, please.
Well, I am a mom of 4 little girls. And so it's always a challenge to balance work and life. But I think the best advice is that you're not going to be perfect at everything at the same time. And so it's leaning in where you need to be in that moment. And it can all be rewarding. And so it's just proper prioritization. And then your priorities are going to shift based on the day, based on the project, based on where life takes you. So really just being flexible and leaning in where you need to.
If you could give your younger self a piece of advice, you're going into working, and what would you tell yourself if you could go back?
Yeah, I think it's just trusting in yourself, having that confidence, speaking up. I think everyone has a little bit of self-doubt, and it's very important that your perspective is a lot more valuable than you even realize. So have the confidence, speak up, and trust your gut.
You've been doing a lot of different media interviews here at Vive. And what has been some of the key messages that you want the industry to know and to understand and to change?
Yeah, I think this is a very large landscape. There are so many challenges that we're looking to tackle. And so I think, again, when we talk about partnerships, it has to be with the healthcare systems, with the vendors. We all need to work together as one team to solve the challenges that this industry is facing. And so there's a lot of different solutions out there, but if we can focus on the clinicians, the patients, keeping them front and center in the challenges that we're trying to solve, then that's what's going to make a meaningful impact. We can't lose sight of what we're actually trying to accomplish and who's impacted by the downstream effects.
And what are some of your tips and tricks for people who are looking to to do partnerships? What are things that you've learned through the years about what makes a partnership great with a health system?
Yeah, again, it's just really understanding the environment you're in and the needs that exist there. So again, starting by listening, understanding the challenges that are trying to be solved. You might be able to do everything, but there might be different needs of that organization, and really being flexible and open-minded and having those dialogues, making that sure that the key stakeholders are aligned and there's agreement and buy-in, and finding the right partners to accomplish those tasks is very important.
From the start of your career to now, has ROI changed, like the need for ROI, and what has that conversation look like from when you started to now?
I think ROI, the focus has usually been on cost. And I think it's really important to look at true ROI goes beyond just cost. It's clinical efficiency, clinician satisfaction. So really trying to define all the components that you can measure that report into the return on investment you're making.
And how important is that innovation layer in the EHR to people when they're thinking about ROI?
I think it has to be critical. Obviously, margins are thin in the healthcare market, and so finance is a primary driver. But with burnout being such a driver today, we really need to look at ways that we can leverage innovation to solve that challenge. And that's a true ROI if you can reduce the burnout and increase clinicians' satisfaction and bring joy back to those providing care for our patients. That's irreplaceable.
If you could give a piece of advice to folks that are looking to work in a job similar to the ones that you do, what would you tell them?
I had the opportunity in starting out in consulting, and so I had exposure to so many different projects, different industries, different opportunities. And so really just embrace the opportunities that come your way, ask questions, take on more. The more you do, you'll find where your strengths lie, where your desires lie. And so really just seek out as many opportunities as you can to get broader exposure.
Very inspiring. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's awesome to learn from you.
Thank you. I always enjoy being here.
And thanks to you folks for joining us too. Check out the High Achieve with Grace podcast for more interviews with great guests like Sandra today. Cheers.
Like a Girl Media is more than a media network. It's a community. We want to meet you and amplify your voice and the voices of outstanding women innovating in healthcare. Interested in starting your own podcast or hosting an event near you? Connect with us online or in person. We're here to support and empower you.